Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. During this Christmas season, my dad, Pastor Salem, continues to preach on Jesus, the glorious Savior of the world, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We continue to receive such kind letters. We thank you for writing to us. A viewer from Nebraska says, "I am encouraged every Sunday when I watch CWH and the work being done to spread the gospel." Another viewer says, "I receive so much blessing and encouragement whenever I get the chance to watch your program." Thank you for keeping Pastor Salem's preaching alive and still bringing people to Christ. This week's message, Dad shows us that we can see Jesus everywhere and in the midst of his people. Now let's join Pastor Salem for today's message, "Where is he?" God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by. God's been good to us, and here we are almost to Christmas. And so we're going to be thinking about Christmas today. We're going to have a sermon on "Where is he?" And we're going to be thinking about the words of the wise men. So maybe you can call some friends and tell them we're going to have a special sermon about celebrating the Christmas season, and maybe they'll join us. We're looking at Psalm 106 in the opening verses, where the psalmist said, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times." And so, Heavenly Father, we come today to worship you and your wonderful Son. In just a few days now, we'll be celebrating Christmas Day, the day that your dear Son came. And we thank you for coming, and we thank you that our whole life has changed because the Savior came and gave himself for us. So may this service honor you, Lord, and may it encourage God's people. And to those who have never received you, may Jesus Christ be born in their hearts today, this very service. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan has a song, "Far, Far Away on Judea's Plains." And God bless you, Jan. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. What a wonderful message. That's the message of Christmas, the Prince of Peace. And I have a suspicion that this world is never going to have peace till Jesus comes, till the Prince of Peace comes, and then he'll rule with a rod of iron and they'll behave themselves for once in their life. We just thank you for such a great Savior and that he's going to rule and reign one of these bright sunny days on this earth. Well, we have some letters, and you know, we just get so many nice letters. We read every one of them, and I want to thank you for writing. And I hope you'll just continue to do that. And when you write, then it gives me ideas. What are they asking? What do they want to know? And maybe I can help you think through some things or answer some questions. And so I hope you'll write to us. I'm going to give you the address right now so you won't miss it. And it's a Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in good old Aberdeen, South Dakota. There's only one Aberdeen in South Dakota, and we're it. And it's 57402, so I hope you'll write. But here's some of the letters. Listen to this first letter. It's from Antioch, California. And this is a lady who writes and said, I was saved in 1984. I heard a minister talking about Rahab and how she was saved and was even in the lineage of our dear Savior. I came to my senses and I knew I couldn't live a life like hers anymore. I know God forgave me, but it took a long time to forgive myself. I know that if God would give me a chance, I could live for him in my own special way. I married my husband 30 years ago. I've looked back many times and can't believe how sinful I was. I'm telling you this to be a witness to many people that their lives can be changed. The Holy Spirit breathed new life into me and can breathe into yours. Bless you, Pastor Salem, for all your encouragement. Now, I'm going to tell you if that isn't a sermon. We could take the offering and go home right now. But I got a sermon I prepared and I want to unload it on you. So we won't stop now. But this is why I love to preach. I love to preach because there's hope. There's hope. And here's a woman that was like Rahab. Well, I'm going to tell you, we all have our bad sins in the past. May not be that kind, but the sin is sin. And God tells us if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of the whole thing. And we're all poor old sinners saved by grace. But I just love to preach this because there's hope. There's always hope. I'm going to tell you, if I had 100 lives, I'd give every one of the ministry, every one. And so if you're listening today and you say, and I have people tell me, oh, God will never forgive me. I sinned against light. They seem like if they know they're sinning and they do it anyway, then they think it's a special sin God won't forgive. I'm going to tell you, we've all sinned against. I've sinned against light. I'm not going to drag everybody into it. But I suspect there'll be more than one. But Jesus will forgive us. His blood washes from all of our sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. And so here, and this is what she says. She says, the Holy Spirit witnessed, and the Holy Spirit came to my life and breathed in new life. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. And this is a wonderful story. And maybe some of you are in the same predicament. You'll write in and say, yeah, we prayed that prayer when you told us about that, and we have Jesus. Here's Longwood, Florida. Thank you so much for the pamphlet on suicide. It does my heart good to know my good friend is in heaven. And so I've written a booklet. It's a 10-page booklet. Can a Christian who commits suicide go to heaven? And the answer is yes, indeed. And it isn't that I died and came back to life or I had a vision or I heard voices. It's just the plain old Word of God. And it's all of the reasons are the Word of God. So if you'd like a copy, you write to us. It's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Send an offering. And if you're in prison, you can't send anything, you're in Social Security and you're broke, you write, somebody else will help us. And you can have this. Maybe you know somebody, maybe somebody in the family committed suicide. If they trust in Jesus, they're in heaven today, I can tell you that right now, right to your face. Here is New York, New York. The Bible says a soul that sinneth, it shall die. If you're dead and your soul is dead, how can you experience eternal torment if you're dead? Doesn't make sense. Well, God bless this dear man. And the point is simply this, that we can be dead spiritually, eternally, and we can be dead physically. And you remember in Matthew 8:22, Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. And what he was simply saying, let the dead spiritually, bury the physically dead. The spiritually dead, bury the physically dead. And so we're all dead. And so if we're dead, we have no spiritual life, we're going to go into hell. But there'll be torment because there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it is forever. And that's if there was no torment or anything, what'd Jesus die for anyway? He agonized on the cross because there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And you know something else? You decide which one you take. You take heaven or you take hell. It's your decision. If you want to go to heaven, you take Jesus. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Take away your sin. Promise to turn from your own sin. That's repentance. Jesus taught repentance. Apostles taught repentance. Turn from your sins. Walk with Jesus. Then thank him. Then tell somebody what you did. That's the glorious gospel. Here's Jacksonville, Florida. We watch your show every Sunday. You've helped me to grow as a Christian. You know why we helped her to grow as a Christian? Because we preached the Bible, the Holy Word of God. And when you preach the Bible, it'll never return void to the God. He's going to accomplish something in your life. And if you're not a Christian, he's going to talk to you about opening your heart to Jesus. And we're all praying here that during this service, right now, we got a letter from one man. He says, I got down on my knees and asked Jesus into my heart while you were preaching. And that's what we want you to do. If you're a truck driver, don't get down on your knees unless you stop your truck. We hear from truck drivers. They have radios in there and they listen to us. Boy, I just love those old truck drivers. And maybe you want to get on your knees. That's fine. But just pray to Jesus. Here's East Grand Forks, North Dakota. I would like to receive about 10 of the copies of the suicide booklet. I'm going to give them to my siblings to ensure our nephew is with Jesus. He was a good Christian man. He had too many demons eating at him. He was a recovering alcoholic, and he lost his 8-month-old son to cancer. I was the last person he texted. We were good fishing buddies. He said he couldn't get his son's face out of his mind. I want to cry. And you know, that's what the devil does. He torments people. He is worse than an animal. And here he drives this man to his wit's end and he commits suicide. But he knows Jesus. You know where he is now? He's at the throne of grace, rejoicing with his little son. That's where he's at. And if you want to get this booklet, you write to us because it'll give you hope. Now, if you're not a Christian, there is absolutely no hope. We can't help you. But if you're a Christian, if you call on the name of the Lord, you have hope, and that suicide isn't any worse than gossiping. Sometimes I think gossipers are worse. Suicide just takes his own life. Gossipers take the lives of others and reputation of others. Might be worse being a gossip than a suicide. Better watch out with that tongue. And not just the women. They say, oh, the women, they do the gossiping. I've seen men gossip. They just put a woman to shame. They could gossip so good. Here's Citrus Springs, Florida. God bless you all. We are one in Christ, my Savior and my Lord. I love him so much. I'm 82 years old. I came to know Jesus when I was 43 years old. I was searching in so many areas. Then the precious Holy Spirit showed me the way to Jesus. Bless all of you. That's what the Holy Spirit does, you know. We preach the Bible, and the Holy Spirit takes it up, and he applies it to your heart. And I'll bet you there are people right now while I'm reading these letters and talking, the Holy Spirit's already, he didn't even get to the sermon, couldn't wait for the sermon. And he's talking to your heart and you're saying, I ought to make it right with God. I'm not ready to meet God. I don't want to go to hell. I want to have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit is telling you, open your heart to Jesus. And you know there's somebody else there, the devil's there. And the devil's saying, no, don't take Jesus as your Savior. Don't do that. Just put it off. He'll never tell you not to take him as Savior. He says, just put it off. Put it off. You'll never get there, see. Here's a man, and here's this dear person, and the Holy Spirit talked to them. If he's talking to you, you just pray right now, and then write to us, and I'll give you the address just a minute. Here's Monticello, Minnesota. Please send your pamphlet on suicide. My father took his own life when I was 14. He wrote a suicide letter asking Jesus to forgive him as he was falling asleep. He took pills to die. I've worried and wondered if Jesus could forgive him or if my father's in hell. It's always bothered me. I'm 58 years old. From time to time, I watch your show and enjoy it. And thank you. Well, we sent this book to this person. No question. He trusted Jesus. He's in heaven. And it's not somebody's guess. I'm not telling you what I hope or think or anything. It's what God says. It's the Bible. And you can't argue with the Bible. That's why I like to preach. Because when I preach the Bible, it gives me authority. I can get up and say, this is it, the way it is, Buster. And nothing else, see? And I can just really preach it. And you can't get after me because I'm just using God's word. One more letter, little short one, nice one. Bedelford, Maine. Praise God for introducing me to you. I look forward to all of us in heaven together. Isn't that nice? Well, that's the way the Lord does. He talks to people. He tunes us in. We don't know who's tuning us in. Don't know if anybody's tuning us in. But we hope you are, because I'll tell you why. Because we need your help. And we are dependent upon the gifts of God's people. We're not underwritten by any organization, corporation, or anything else. It's the people of God. And so you need to write to the Christian Worship Hour and send a gift. The Christian Worship Hour, the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And this is what you need to do. You need to watch this program, this service, and you need to ask God if he wants you to give. And then you ask him how much. Don't you figure out how much to give. Ask the Lord, how much do you want me to give? And there'll come a figure in your mind. It'll probably take your breath away, but get your breath back and then just do what God does. And if you do what God says, you'll be happy and he'll bless you. So you can write to us and help us, because we need your help. If you want to, you can send a gift over to ChristianWorshipHour.com. That goes all over the world, and wherever you are, we get gifts from Norway and the Philippines and a couple other places. And what you do is you just get on there and you look on ChristianWorshipHour.com, and it'll say donate, and you touch that donate or hit that button, and then it'll say how much. PayPal's what it is, and we'll be you pay, and we'll be your pal. And we'll be your pal anyway, but it'll be, you know, be help us if you... If you don't help us, we can't carry it on. That's all. So it's up to you. And so we just hope that you'll help us. We have a little paper that we put out every week, every month. And it's called The New Song. And this month, it's a little Bible study. And our Bible study this month of December is, What Shall We Name Him? What Shall We Name Him? And so you can have a little Bible study. Then we have receipts. We have different little copies from some of the letters that are sent to us. And we will give you the sermon topics and we give you the text. It's great. I don't know how we can give it away free, but we do. So you just write to us. We'll send it to you. And if you don't like it, let us know and we'll take it back. But you'll like it, I know, and God will bless you. So now Jan's going to play. First, I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And then you give as God directs. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who help us. Some have helped us now over the years. 36 years we've been getting help. Most of those people are with you in their presence, your presence right now. And so, but you'll raise up new people. So We just thank you for each one, every gift and every giver, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. She's been so faithful in helping us over the years and always here at her place helping us. And, of course, I need to thank all of the men behind the machines here and all this technology. And there they are, just faithful as they can be. I suspect they kind of nap a little bit during the sermon, but I can't prove anything because I can't see them. But they're here to get us on, so that's the main thing. We're reading from Matthew chapter 2 now, the opening verses. And then at the conclusion during our prayer, we're going to pray for Lebanon. Every month, every week, we pray for a different country. Pray for brothers and sisters in Christ, a part of our family of God, who are suffering. And they're suffering all over the world. And so we're going to pray for Lebanon. But first, the scripture. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, Go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also, the scoundrel. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which was they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful story of the coming of your Son, and how he's born, and he's born king. He's not born to become the king, he's born king. He is the king. As a little tiny baby, he is the king right there. And we just thank you that he came. And we thank you that the wise men worshipped him, and wise people have been worshipping him ever since. And those who have any sense at all, or those who take time to think, if they have an ounce in their brain, in their head, will turn to you, Lord, because there's only one remedy for our sins, and that's the Savior, Jesus. And if we don't have Jesus, we have hell. And so we just pray there'll be multitudes who receive you into their heart and be born again, find the joy of salvation. And Lord, we want to pray for our dear friends in Lebanon, brothers and sisters there, some of them dying. And Lord, those that are dying, they're in your presence, and everything, all their struggles are over. But those who are left behind, the mothers, the widows, the older people, the grandmas, the grandpas, and the little children, oh God. And we just wish you'd come right away, but you have your own program, and we want your will to be done. So help these people. I know you will, but we need to pray for them just the same. So now, dear Lord, bless us as we continue worshiping you. May we hold Jesus high. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank has a song, Wise Men Follow Him. And God bless you, Hank.
At the birth of our Savior, wise men came from afar. They came to worship the Savior. So remember, wherever you are,
wise men
follow him.
Wise men
follow him. And they adore the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. They brought gifts to the Savior, frankincense, myrrh, and gold. They found the King in a manger, and most of the world didn't know.
Wise men
follow him.
Wise men
follow him. And they adore the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. The world still doesn't realize. If you follow Jesus, my friend, you'll be foolish in their eyes. But wise men follow him.
Wise men
follow him. And they adore the Savior that was born in Bethlehem. Wise men follow him.
Wise men
follow him.
Hank, thank you and God bless you. And by the way, Hank has a new Christmas album. And if you want to purchase one of them, you can just send it to the Christian Worship Hour address, and we'll just put Hank on there, and we'll see that he gets it. And it's a great album. I've heard it, and it's just Hank singing, and it just does a great job. Well, we want to think about the wise men today. Who are the wise men? And they had a question, and so we're going to see. Look at the wise men, then we're going to answer their question. So, who are the wise men? Well, in the King James Version, the Revised Standard Version, Jerusalem Bible, call them wise men. Phillips Modern English calls it a party of astrologers. The New English Bible has it, astrologers. The New International Version calls them magi. And these men came from the East. Now, the Greek word for these men is magi. And it's hard to translate because, as Herodotus tells us, they were originally of the Amidian tribe, and they became a part of the Persian Empire. And these magi became people, they became a tribe of priests. So they were a lot like the priests and the Levites and the Israelites. The Levites for the Israelites, the magi were the priests for the Persians. And they had a law in Persia that they couldn't offer a sacrifice unless one of these men were there for the sacrifice. These magi were skilled in philosophy, medicine, and natural science. And they were soothsayers and interpreters of dreams. But as time went on in later years, then they became a little deteriorated, and they became like a magician or a charlatan. And they weren't very dependable. But in the days of Jesus, when these men came, they believed they could tell the future by the stars. They believed a man's destiny was determined and settled by the stars. And so these magi, then studying the stars, saw this one star of exceeding brilliance. And it meant to them, a prince has been born, a king has been born. And in their professions, they thought, oh, we've got to see this king. So the magi, the wise men, were very learned, educated, dedicated men. And it's all right to call them wise men, because that's what they really were. Now they say, well, how many wise men were there? And so somebody says, well, anybody knows there were three, because that's what the song says. You know, we three kings of Orient are. So there were three wise men, but that's not necessarily so, because sometimes these magi, these wise men, would travel in groups up to 12. And why wouldn't they have 12 magi if they had 12 apostles? Maybe they did have 12. But the point is, we really don't know. We don't know how many there were, three or half a dozen or whatever it was. And so then they came, and they're looking for the king. And they come looking for this because in that star, they know that there's something there, that they are there, that they're of the Lord. There's something of God. There's something special, and they want to see it, and they want to know it. And so they come. And I should have said that sometimes people say there were three wise men because they had three gifts, you know, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And, you know, they were reading that in the Sunday school class one time, a little girl there. They brought gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And the little girl says, why didn't they bring him a bed? And so, you know, the little kids, sometimes they open our eyes and they teach us something. So the wise men came. And they ask a question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And that's what we want to answer today. This is the first question recorded in the New Testament. Where is he born king of the Jews? Then the first question in the Old Testament is, God says, where art thou? So he's doing searching too. Where art thou was asked by God concerning sinful man. Where is he is asked about people looking for a savior, the Savior of the world, to take care of those sins. Where art thou in the Old Testament is a relation to the Old Testament covenant of the law. In the New Testament, where is he is under the covenant of grace, and it's a whole different picture. Where art thou is answered in the law, which says, in sin, for by law is the knowledge of sin. But in Ephesians 2:17, it points to the city of Bethlehem, and it talks about the Savior, born King of the Jews, and he's the Savior of the world, and that's the good message. So where is he? Well, he's in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. Christmas was the celebration of the advent or the coming of the Lord Jesus into the world by human birth. But it does not mark the beginning of Jesus himself, because Jesus existed a long before Christmas. Christmas is merely the day that he came into the world by way of the virgin birth. And that date was probably not December 25th. We don't know what date it was. It doesn't matter, and who cares? He came. That's the thing. I hear these debates on what day is Christmas. Well, who cares? He came. That's all that counts. So don't get hung up on some of these little things that don't amount to anything. In John 17, Jesus prayed, glorify thou me with the Father I had with thee before the world was. And so Jesus is in the bosom of the Father before the world was ever formed, before the world was ever made. He was with God. He says, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. In John chapter 1 and verse 18, it does not say he was in the Father of the Father, but in the bosom of the Father, but he is in the bosom of the Father. And this means that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was in the bosom of the Father from time eternity, that he is a second person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that God, the Father, is God, and Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. The three are one, but they're each one individuals, and they are God. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus, then, is in the bosom of the Father. Then you could say, where is he? And you could say, well, he is in the volume of the covenant of the people of God. in the Old Testament, you see Jesus over and over in his pre-incarnate form. Before he's born of the Virgin, he's among the people, talking with the people. He's beneath the tree in the Garden of Eden, and he walked and he talked with Adam. He is by the waters of the Jabbok when he wrestled with Jacob. That's Jesus in his pre-incarnate form. He was under the oak tree when he visited Abraham. He was by the wine press at Ophrah when he talked to Gideon. He was in the field of the Danites when he conversed with the parents of Samson. And Isaiah saw him high and lifted high in the temple before he was ever born. They saw him in that pre-incarnate form. And above the throne, the seraphim who cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And this is what Isaiah did. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." That was Jesus Christ before he took on himself the form of a man. He was with God. He was God, for had no beginning and has no ending. He's the Ancient of Days, this wonderful God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he's in the Old Testament. He's in the God. Is the great prophet of Eden who foretold his own birth for the seed of the woman. And he comes then in his Old Testament. He says, Abraham rejoiced to see his day and rejoiced in it. And so he appeared in some way to Abraham. So that when he's going to give his son as a sacrifice, he sees that this son is going to be raised, and he believes with all of his heart that Jesus Christ, this wonderful God, is going to save that boy and raise him from the dead. So he is in the Old Testament over and over. Where is he? He's in the manger in Bethlehem at his incarnation. Jesus Christ stepped out of the pages of the Bible, the book, into the stall where he is stabled with oxen. He becomes, instead of the written word, he becomes the living word when he comes to Bethlehem. He stepped out of the promise to become the fulfillment of that promise. That promise that was given away back in Genesis, the third chapter, where the seed of the woman is going to crush the serpent's head. This wonderful Savior, he is the one who then comes and he steps in the bosom of the Father, and he rests himself on the bosom of his mother. He's here in the flesh. Once in all eternity, he took himself the form of a human being, of a man, except without sin. And you know what? He still has that body in heaven. And he will have that body forever and ever. There'll never be a time he doesn't have that body anymore. What a glorious Savior. Where is he? He is in the bosom of the Father. And it is because it all took place because God loved us. And we have the wonderful mercy and grace and kindness of God that he would give us Jesus, his Son. You know, I used to read about Dennis the Menace. I liked him, I guess, because probably I was like that. And Dennis is always into some kind of trouble. But this time, there in one of the pictures, he has his little friend Joey with him, and they're leaving Mrs. Wilson's house, and they have both of them have hands full of cookies. And Joey says, I wonder what we did to deserve this, little Joey says. And Dennis responds, "Look, Joey, Mrs. Wilson gives us cookies not because we're nice, but because she's nice." And that's what God did. We're not nice. We're not good. We're all sinners, poor lost sinners. And this wonderful, wonderful Jesus, because God is nice, because God is good, because he's loved, because he cares, he gives us his Son, Jesus. Where is he? He's in that manger. Where is he now? He's in the will of his Father in service. When he was 12 years old, he was at the temple and has stated that he must be about his Father's business. And what was his Father's business? His Father's business was the work of redemption, saving a poor lost soul. Is Jesus means Savior, and that's what he has to be, and that is exactly what he is going to be, and he's going to be a Savior of the world. So we're told in Hebrews 10, when he cometh into the world, he saith, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I am come to do thy will, O God." And what is the will of God? The will of God is that he will come and be a sacrifice for the sins of the world, because there's no way that world can ever get to heaven. There's no way that world will ever have heaven unless they have that wonderful Savior, Jesus. And that is such a miracle. And we don't deserve it. We don't deserve anything because all we did was just to crucify this wonderful Jesus. That's what we did. And yet he came knowing exactly what would happen, knowing that he'd have to die and that he'd raise himself from the grave the third day. But he did it to save your soul and my soul. And I'm going to tell you, friends, when you have a Jesus knocking at your door and he's wanting and you're having a feeling, I've never asked Jesus into my life, but I ought to do it. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason he came, was to come into your heart and to help you be saved, take away your sins. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again. You're born from above. You're regenerated. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit. You're put into the body of Christ. All of those things happen. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord, and all I knew was I felt happy that Jesus saved me. I didn't hear any voices. And I didn't, some people, you know, they got all kinds of things you have to do to be saved. And they put a lot of things in to be saved. They'll say, well, you have to feel good. Or you have to hear a voice, or you got to have goose pimples or something when you accept Jesus. And there's some poor soul that says, well, I accepted Jesus. I just prayed and accepted Jesus. Now, well, did you have any goose pimples? I said, no, I didn't. No, well, you can't get saved unless you have goose pimples. And they said, oh, yeah, I think I had one over my left arm here. He says, one, you got to be covered with them. You say, that's nonsense. You know, you don't have to have any feelings when you accept Jesus. It's a contract where he's offering you salvation if you will believe it. It's just a contract. And maybe you'll have joy and happiness, and maybe you'll carry on and all of that. That's fine. Everybody's different. Maybe it's just a transaction. That's what it was with me. 10 years old, I asked Jesus if he'd come into my heart. And the next day, I felt like my sins were gone. I just felt happy. That's all. I didn't hear any voices. And so don't make it hard. You just pray, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And he knows that, but he wants you to confess it and just say, just please come into my heart. Take away my sins, dear Jesus, and I'll forsake my evil ways. And those things that are wrong, there's repentance. Jesus taught repentance. And I'll turn and I'll follow you now. You're not going to be perfect. You're going to fall back maybe. And then you ask Jesus to forgive you. And every time you fall back, you ask him to forgive you. And if you fall back 1,000 times, he'll forgive you 1,000 times. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But you make an effort. So accept Jesus and promise to serve him, follow him. Then thank him and then tell somebody. Some of you men ought to tell your wife. And you tell your wife, I go and tell her, I accepted Jesus. I want you to know. She'll be so happy, she'll probably faint. And then she'll get up and she'll cook you the best meal you ever had for a long time. Tell somebody. God isn't looking for people in the Secret Service. He wants us out in the open, holding up the flag and marching. Where is he? He is in the Jordan River being baptized. And Jesus was baptized not because he sins, not because he confessed sins, but he was baptized so he could be a part of the people and die for the people, because he's going to take all of their sins into that holy, sinless body of his. And that's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, because all of the sins of the world heaped up and placed in that precious body made him sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And the angels came and ministered to him afterwards. And where is he? He is at the temptation of his testing. So he has to be tested. And it isn't tested to see if he'll sin. He's tested to prove that he won't sin. And he was human just like we are human. But he still lived above temptation because he relied wholly upon the Lord. And he quoted the scriptures. And the devil, you know, the devil, he'll just tempt everybody. And he'll tempt you. He tempted Jesus, the Son of God, and he did it at the temple. That devil is a devil. I'm telling you, that's a good name for him. And he'll be at you, and you just stay close to Jesus. And you just, if you fail, you ask Jesus to forgive you. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Savior. Where is he? Well, he's on the cross. He's on the cross. The law declared, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So it was that men with wicked hands crucified him. So today God out of heaven asks, amid all the merrymaking and revelry of Christmas, and of all of the grace, the wonderful things of Christmas and excitement, and all of the rest of it, God is saying out of heaven, where is he? What have you done with my beloved son? That's what God is saying. I sent him. What have you done with him? That's what God is saying. Well, he isn't here. Why isn't he here? Because the world rejected him. The world hated him. The world tortured him. The world crucified him. The world rejected him. And I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. God condemns the world for what they did with Jesus. He holds the world guilty for shedding the blood of his son. Wasn't something done in a corner and forgotten. Jeremiah talks about this very thing. He says that God has a controversy with the nations. And you know what the controversy is? What have you done with my son? You've crucified him. And you're going to have to pay for it if you don't repent. Here, listen to Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 31. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. The whole world he's talking to. For the Lord himself hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. He's pleading with the people to turn to him forgiveness. But if he is, they don't repent. He says he will plead with all flesh. But those who reject him are wicked. And he says he will give them that are wicked to the sword. One of them is translated, he will slaughter all the wicked. And Jesus Christ is going to come again, and God is going to slaughter in horrible things those that reject Jesus Christ. And I beg of you to flee from the wrath to come. And he's saying to you today, what have you done with my son? Have you accepted my son? Have you turned him away? Have you submitted to him? Are you serving him? Do you love him? That's what he wants to know. And this wonderful Jesus, we can say, yes, I've accepted Jesus. I'm trying to serve him the best I can. I'm a miserable failure lots of times, but I know you'll love me and I know you'll forgive me and I ask you forgive me, but I'm crowning him the Lord of my life. That's what Jesus wants us to do. And so then from the cross, he goes to the tomb. And there in the tomb, they're going to puts on the grave clothes. Loving hands took Jesus down from the cross. You know something? The enemy hands never touched Jesus once they took that body from the cross. Enemy hands never laid hands on Jesus Christ again. Only the hands of his friends and his disciples and his loved ones. God bless him. And they came to then put him in the tomb. And Jesus says, and Psalmist says in Psalm 16, verse 10, thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. He was in the tomb, but it was a limited time. And then where is he? He is in the resurrection. He comes from the grave. His enemies, oh, they wanted to keep that body in the grave. But over and over and over and over, he is risen. He is risen. He is risen. 1 Corinthians 15, he is risen. No question about it. Every effort was made to keep the body in the tomb. His enemies asked for a watch to be set. They asked for the seal to be put. That was the seal of Rome. That wasn't the seal of some little Bethlehem or something like that or Jerusalem. Hey, this is the emperor from Rome. Put the Roman seal on there and God have mercy on the man that touches that seal. And you seal that tomb and you put that guard and you do everything you can. But that first Easter Sunday morning, that tomb was empty. Empty. Jesus Christ is risen. Where is he? He's at the right hand of the throne of God, ascended into heaven, now at the right hand of the throne of God. And at that throne of God, we can also be there too, because we But we put our faith in him and we are in Christ. So we read in Romans chapter 10. But this man, Jesus, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And you just keep that in mind the next time somebody talks about a suicide, for instance. He is one sacrifice for sins forever. That takes every sin man has ever committed, past, present, or future. Listen to it again, Romans 10, verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He's waiting until the end of time, and his enemies will be made his footstool. And look at the last verse. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are saved. I don't know how you could write it any plainer. You don't believe that, it's just because you don't want to believe. You just want to be just as stubborn as a mule, and it only can lead to one place, and that's the fires of hell. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ, oh, my friend, there's no hope for you. But listen to this. That's not all. He is raised at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where Jesus is today, at God's right hand. And Ephesians 2, verse 6, listen to this. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's really where we are right now. We're in God's right hand in the throne of grace. You couldn't get lost if you wanted to. You're part of that. You're in heaven. We're as good as in heaven with God. Ephesians 2, verse 6. The work has been completed. The sin debt has been paid. It's all settled. And that's the story of Christmas. That's the beautiful story of Christmas. So I want to ask a question. I want to ask you today, where is he? Where is he with you? What have you done with Jesus? You taken his name in vain? Have you laughed at him? Have you been so silly as to say you're an atheist, that you don't believe in God, and then you fight everybody that wants to worship God? Have you lost something somewhere? Where are you? What have you done with Jesus? You're going to have to answer that. I'm going to have to answer that. And you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say, when I was 10 years old, dear Lord, dear God, you know, there out there at that little schoolhouse where that preacher was preaching, and I went there to that recitation bench and I knelt down and I prayed and I asked you to come into my heart, and you came into my heart. You wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You made me his child and I belong to you. I know what I've done with Jesus. I haven't always been faithful to him and I haven't been all I should have been. But I know one thing, I did the one right thing. I accepted Jesus. And I'm wondering about you today, friend. Maybe God is talking to you, the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and you're saying, I really ought to make a decision, but I don't know what my friends will think. I don't know what my friends will say. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I remember Ironside used to say, when he was a little boy, he accepted Jesus, and his mother says, now you tell the children to school, you accepted Jesus. And when he came back, he said, you tell the kids? And he says, no, Mom, I didn't, because they laugh at me. And his mother says, well, you know what they'll do, he says? They'll laugh at you. They can laugh you into hell, but they can't laugh you out of it. You witness for Jesus Christ. Why would you be ashamed of Jesus? And if you men, I always say men, because usually the women come first. I don't know why it is. But those women, they are smarter, or they got a better heart, or this, I don't know. I only know three times, I've been preaching 71 years, I only know three cases where the man came before his wife. Only three. So that's why I say the men, just come to Jesus and just don't be ashamed. Be proud to know I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, he will have this promise. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. I'll be with you, and I'll never leave you or forsake you. John Rippon puts it so well. He says, fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed. I am thy God, I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. E'en death down to old age, and all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when silver hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. Where is he? He's in the heart of every child of God. And what better time than Christmas? Just a few days, we'll have Christmas Eve. What better time than to pray, Jesus, I want you to be born into my heart. I want to love you and follow you. I should have done it long ago. I'm asking you now. If you make that prayer, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature to help you get started in the Christian life. Have any questions, we'll try to answer them. Or you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. We need to hear from you. We need your help. And now we're going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for Jesus who came. Thank you for this wonderful season with the singing of the carols and all of the joy and the presents and all of the rest. Thank you. We can think about the greatest present the world ever had. As St. Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And help us all to love you and trust you and to receive you into our life. And those of us who know you, Lord, help us to rededicate ourselves to you. Help our gift this Christmas be to give ourselves to you, the wonderful Savior. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're praying God will bless all of you. I know Christmas is a hard time for some people, but it can be a happy time because you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and he'll comfort your heart, and he'll give you joy, and he'll give you peace. He'll give you a peace the world can't give and the world can't take away. Just come to Jesus. Trust him. And we're praying for you. Maybe you're having troubles and trials. Jesus knows. He cares. He loves you. He'll be with you. Won't always be that way. Someday he'll take you to heaven. And won't that be something? And we'll all see each other. We rejoice around the throne of God. And we'll get to see all of you who worship with us all over the world. We'll all be together. God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.